Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning. Hello again. How are you? On the programme today, we hear from the head of the World Meteorological Organization on the extraordinary presence of four heat domes simultaneously around the globe. Overruns at the National Children's Hospital. What is going on? What happens to your heart in a heat wave? Former international player Claire Shine on why she thinks Ireland can beat the Matildas tomorrow morning. The hidden environmental cost of AstroTurf pitches. Should the families hosting Ukraine refugees be paid more? And if your dog is pawing, barking or nipping, could he or she be frustrated? Vet Sarah Boland will be here with advice on what to do and any other canine related questions you might have. Text us on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. Gardaí are conducting an investigation today after a rock was thrown through the window of a county councillor's family home with a warning for him to stop supporting refugees. The attack happened late on Monday night at a property that the independent councillor Hugh Lewis previously lived in, but is now occupied by his elderly father, who was alone in the front room when the rock came through the window. He joins me on the line now. Hugh, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. Can you tell us first, please, what is it that happened on Monday?
Well, on Monday evening, I got a phone call from my father at about 12:45 to say that he'd been sitting in the front room watching television, as he always has done. My dad lives on his own. My mum passed away a number of months ago, and he got a brick thrown through the front window, smashing the double glaze, and then attached to this was a note which urged me to desist from assisting refugees, or it was my last warning, basically.
Urged you, not him, because you used to live in the house.
Yeah. It's my family home, and people, I used to live in the house, and the vast majority of people would associate that house with me anyway, and it was also registered as my home address with the council for many, many years.
What exactly did the message say?
The message said, stop effing helping refugees, or you'll have to move out. This is your last warning. So that's really much exactly what it said on the note.
Was that also your first warning?
That's the first time I've ever got a violent threat such as that. Now, there has been an escalation. Usually, look, I'm a councillor for the public representative for a long time. You know, I'm well able to engage in debate and discourse over social media, but the tone and the narrative has changed substantially over the past period, particularly in the past number of weeks. So whereas before I would have people disagree with me, I literally have people just
We'll come on to the specifics in a moment about what it is that might have motivated this attack. But how is your dad?
He's okay. He's rather shook. I mean, there's been a huge positive messages of support from the community since this has happened. I think he's been fairly overwhelmed by the amount of messages of support. So he's doing well.
How did he feel that night about staying in the house?
Well, he was shook. My sister and her husband came over that night. They sat with my father. My dad told me he didn't sleep until, I think, 4 o'clock that morning. He wasn't able to eat the next day because he was just kind of in shock, I presume, with adrenaline. It's not a nice experience for anybody, particularly a 78-year-old man living on his own. So, yeah, it was quite a traumatic experience that he should never have gone through, to say the least.
No, absolutely not. So back to the specific motivation. What is it, do you think, that has so riled this individual?
Well, the message states what it states. It's related directly to my approach to asylum seekers and our approach across, I suppose, the political spectrum. to asylum seekers in Dunleary. Now, I should just state that, first of all, I understand people's anger. I work with, I deal with the housing crisis and the cost of living crisis every single day of the week, so I can well understand people's anger and working classes, people's pent-up anger at this stage. But, there's no excuse for targeting anybody. I mean, I literally am doing my job. I articulated the position that I've always had, that, if you're disenfranchised, if you're angry, then we need to target the decision makers in our society, not other people that are vulnerable, whether it's someone earning, 38-50 a week and sleeping in a bunk bed, or it's the person beside you in the housing counter in the council offices. Mm. It's a road to nowhere targeting anybody but the decision makers in this instance.
But it's
and
not
that's
as
the point
if
that I've been making over and over again.
But it's not as if you as a decision maker or a policy maker are out there on your own. There was a recent vote, or a couple of months ago, in the council in which all of you, every single last one of you, voted in favour of extending every protection to people fleeing wars and conflicts.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, I think you have to look carefully at the dynamic of these protests. There was local people from the community on these protests. The vast majority of the community don't agree with the tactics. But, if you're looking at where the strategy come from, it was quite obvious that the ringleaders that come from outside the community, who are prominent figures in the far right, are far more interested in targeting community leaders such as myself and those that actually defend the working class people, rather than going after government parties. And this is a strategy that's being employed all over the place. Yeah. So
that was where I was going to go next with my next question to you, was to what extent do you think that the fears of the local community are being exploited? And if they are, what is it that you can say to the people who do live in your community who are concerned or are being exploited? What do you say in response to this?
Well, I'd urge people for calm. I think that's the most important thing, calm and reflection, and to seek the truth. There's a massive campaign of disinformation. At the moment, I mean, every single day there's, some sort of report that, I can give one example of it. There was a picture put up of an ambulance outside where asylum seekers are staying in Dunleary. It was stated that there was fights, that there was huge amount of trouble, where in actual fact, one of the guys had banged their head swimming and they need to get an ambulance, take them away. So even when this is pointed out, we're at the stage where when the truth is pointed out, the truth is also a conspiracy as well. So, I mean, to be quite frank, Facebook, all these companies, social media, they have the responsibility here. That's not being followed through as well. I think it's easy to believe a narrative that blames people that are easy targets rather than taking on the government and taking on the decision makers. So I think there's a large element to that, and the people perpetuating these lies, they neither care about people that are in need of social housing, whether they're Irish or people that are seeking asylum. They simply want to cause division in our communities, and that's something that I'm very happy and very passionate about standing up against.
In doing that, though, it must feel like you're playing a game of whack-a-mole, having to beat back down every false rumour, every bit of nonsense that's propagated by these people. You'd be run ragged trying to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm inundated with work as a councillor. We've more people homeless than ever before, and that's reflected in the amount of people that come to me and the problems. And, ironically enough, having to deal with this situation and the attack on Monday night is actually distracting me from doing my job and dealing with people of all races, mainly Irish, obviously, that are coming to me looking for help. So that is the frustrating thing from my perspective. But yeah, I mean, it's not easy. There's many groups in Dunleary. I should say it's obviously not just myself. There's People for Profit, there's Sinn Féin, there's the Social Democrats, there's a huge amount of community organisations that are doing their best to make Dunleary an open and place where asylum seekers can integrate. And, I would appeal to people again that irrespective of what your opinions are on people seeking asylum, there's no sense and no logic in having an objective to alienate them and treat them less than any other human being. I mean, if you really see people as a threat, the best thing to do is to integrate them and make them part of our community. Now, I don't think people are a threat before I know people or before I know their backgrounds. But, you know, anyone coming from that position, you know, there really is no logic in actually targeting either places where people believe are going to have refugees or places people believe are going to have international protection applicants. One of the frustrating things I'd say is that, you know, there was a protest yesterday in Ballybrack. I spent all day trying to get information from government, and I couldn't do that as a public representative. And certainly people are conscious or are under the impression, should I say, that, you know, as a councillor and the council know everything and where people, we're starved of information as well, which is just as frustrating in this situation.
And if you had had clear information, Hugh, on what was intended to happen to that property in Ballybrack, do you think that that protest could have been, or the energy could have been taken out of it?
Well, I do think it could happen. Now, obviously, you know, this would have consequences in other areas as well, I suppose. So you do have to be a little bit careful, you know, about, I suppose, what kind of approach you would take. But put it this way, I mean, there was people in apartments that live, that I've helped only recently over this issue, that were contacting me because the guards told them that the place could possibly be set on fire, that they shouldn't stay there last night. Now, I mean, that is it. Utterly unacceptable situation to be in. That itself is an attack on our community. The fact that people can't reside in their homes for fear of being, effectively being burnt out by a fire started next door. So, I think when it comes to threats of violence like that, I think there's an onus on the government to intervene with factual information.
Well, not even happen, yes. Not even threats of violence, Hugh. I mean, actual violence against your father with the rock through the window.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's perhaps in that circumstances a bit naive of me to suggest that good communication is going to dissipate the negative feelings, the bad energy around this at the moment. If people are prepared to actually pick up rocks, if people are prepared to make threats of arson, well, then a firmer hand needs to be taken, surely.
They are. But we do need to recognise that this is a tiny, tiny, tiny element that are willing to go that far. Most people, you know, they're playing on people's fears and people's concerns. Obviously, you know, if you are told someone is a bad person, is likely to be a threat and a danger, that incites a response from you. And, you know, many of these people that are on these protests, they don't understand the protests or the process of asylum. They don't understand the decision makers and who exactly is responsible for which. And, you know, the people that are strategically using this situation know this as well, you know. So I think we need to be, you know, very careful about how we approach these things going forward. But the most important thing is that we appeal to people to have to have understanding and to look at the factual situation.
It does show
first before reaching for concerns.
It does show, doesn't it, though, the importance of local councillors actually being out at these protests, being in a position to put themselves in the firing line of all of that anger and try and calm people down, try and explain the facts of the situation to them.
Absolutely. I mean, look, it would be easy for me as a public representative to say nothing and to bury my head in the sand, but I've a duty as an elected representative to carry out the mandate I was given. So if I feel a certain way and I think people are being scapegoated, you know, if I, you know, think, you know, do I understand and know for a fact that this is a fast road to nowhere, then it's up to all of us as public representatives to stand up and take a position on this and to disseminate the truth and not to be pandering. Because a lot of the time, our silence as public representatives is screams to these people. So we need to all stand together and stand up and give factual information. But there's a big difference, I think, in all fairness, between possibly someone like myself, who's rooted in a working class area, who's rooted from campaigns, from housing, having, you know, an influence on people. People look for me for answers. So it's quite possible that, you know, people expected me possibly to think differently about this. I was, you know, given my history as a campaigner, I would hope they wouldn't do that. But that possibly could be an element to it as well.
I know, but the cost of you doing that, the cost of you putting yourself in the front line and being accessible and openly associated with the campaign to integrate refugees is a brick through your dad's window. Can your family network actually withstand that kind of pressure, or does there come a point where you have to say, no, I need to stand back?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, just to be clear, I've been involved with other groups to try integrate and to try and make people understand that people seeking asylum are just human beings, just like them. But yeah, it's a very valid and a fair question. I think the only way around that is for people to have the confidence to come out. And at the moment, I think, you know, obviously the majority of people don't share the same strategy as these people would employ. And I think it's, you know, it's fairly obvious in the last number of days from the volume of people that have been contacting me, including other public representatives, to say, you know, fair play, we all need to stick together in this situation. The amount of community groups that I would have helped over the years to say if there's anything else we can do. I think, you know, how we break down these divisions in our society is by communicating and engaging with each other. Does that put me and my family at a personal risk? It does when people are, you know, perpetuating and inciting violence. And that's something I think we all need to reflect on as we go forward.
Hugh Lewis, a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts there worth contemplating and debating further. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much.
Very best to your father.
Yeah, and as a final word, I would just urge people to desist from protest and take a good look around them at what is actually happening, because nothing is going to be achieved targeting the wrong people.
Hugh Lewis, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.